Hi, I'm Jordan, and I can't stop rewatching all the things. Nothing is off limits for me. Comedy, drama, sitcoms, sci-fi, movie shorts, and even reality TV shows. On this podcast, I will take you on a deep dive of all the TV shows and movies I love. We'll discuss DVD special features, director commentaries, deleted scenes, trivia, iconic quotes, and everything else that keeps us rewatching over and over again. So let's press play and rewatch it again. Welcome to Let's Rewatch It Again. I'm Jordan, and today's episode is going to be a little different. Okay, a lot different. We are rewatching Parenthood Season 1, Episode 12, Team Braverman. But instead of taking a play-by-play approach, we're just going to focus in on Max's storyline. Parenthood is a show about the Bravermans, and it's a grandmother, grandfather, four adult children who all have children of their own, and all of them are still connected and navigating life as adults while still being sons and daughters and brothers and sisters and cousins and all the things. And it's one of my favorite shows of all time. But for today's purpose, we're just going to focus in on the oldest son, Adam's younger child, Max. In the show, Max is diagnosed with Asperger's, which then, way back when, almost two decades ago now, was considered high-functioning autism. But here's the thing. We don't use any of those terms anymore. First of all, Asperger's is a name of a Nazi, so we definitely don't want to have any association with anything like that, especially when it comes to actual science and research and neurological disorders and all these amazing things that literally have nothing to do with them. Besides the fact that the name Asperger's is attached to someone awful, it doesn't really carry any meaning anymore. Because autism is no longer considered a spectrum, it's more like a giant pizza where each slice is considered like an attribute of autism, and it just kind of depends on like how much of each slice that person has. So like if they have like extra cheese or like extra sauce, and if this analogy is losing you, I'm sorry, but I get it and I don't know why, but there it is. If all of that does sound really confusing, here are a few attributes that might sound familiar when people are talking about autism. Now, a long time ago, a lot of people considered autism to be a kid that could not function on their own. They couldn't eat by themselves, they couldn't talk, or sometimes even move on their own. And that's just not necessarily true for everybody who has autism. There are some things in our stereotypical Hollywood culture that might sound more familiar to you. For instance, for Max, he has a fixation on all things bugs. All bugs, all the time. Like, he also fixates on things that other people might ignore or eventually let go of, or just simply get over in a few minutes, an hour, or day, and he cannot let go. For him, noise sensitivity is a really big one, and it plays a big part on how he interacts with his family and socially, especially at school. But he also has a giant family with a lot of people, a lot of voices, a lot of energy all happening at once. And that's gotta be difficult for anyone, including someone who is sensitive to noise and sound and all the things. He also has a lot of trouble with eye contact, and what's interesting is the actor who plays Max does not have autism, but he plays this character so well, and the way that Max is usually looking off or up instead of at the people he's talking to is completely genius, and it makes him seem a little bit too different. But at the same time, I think for Hollywood purposes, it's okay that we kind of exaggerate this to really bring it home to people who just don't understand. Okay, you might be thinking, Jordan, why do you care so much? Well, I'm autistic. Yep, you might be watching my facial expressions if you're watching the YouTube video, or if you're hearing the dramatic inflections in my voice, you're really surprised by this information. That's okay. It was surprising for me at first, too. I was diagnosed a few months ago with autism and ADHD, and actually when I was recording my last Parenthood episode for Halloween, the Halloween episode Orange Alert, I was diagnosed with ADHD at that moment, and at the very end of my appointment, my psychiatrist said, okay, and we'll talk about autism at our next appointment. And I was like, She gave me a sheet of paper to fill out before I left, and I was like, okay, well, we'll see. It was only 10 questions and they were all yes or no. And the thing is, if you had more than like six or seven, you most likely have autism. And I had to skip around a whole bunch because a bunch of the questions stumped me a little, where I was like, okay, well, no, but also, I mean, well, okay. I had a definite no on three of them. I can't even tell you what they are now, but the other seven, I wrestled with a lot. And I had almost the reaction of, well, no, but also, the one question that made me literally cover my mouth so that I would not laugh out loud in a very quiet waiting room was, do you fixate on subjects or topics that other people grow out of or only seem to like? Yeah, that's not the exact wording, but it was the examples that shot me directly into the Wall-E t-shirt that I was wearing at the time. Dinosaurs. Disney, animals, Star Wars, and it continued with a couple of others that don't apply to me, like automobiles, science, blah, blah, blah. And that piece of paper looked me into my face, forcing me to make eye contact with it and said, hey, that Disney backpack you have, the Disney t-shirt you're wearing, the obsession with Jurassic Park, and oh, the fact that you think about Ben Solo's death every single day is not everybody. It's autism. And yeah, some other people enjoy all of those things or think about those things randomly through life, but they don't soak in it the way that people with autism might do. I'm going to give another example that wasn't on the paper, but it was a video clip of someone else with autism explaining why that test was so confusing and so difficult to just put down yes or no. And it also helped me understand a little bit more because it's like, do you have sensitivity to light, sound, textures? And I'm like, well, not really, except that I really do only prefer to wear soft clothing that's not too form-fitting, just like slightly roomy so that I feel like my skin can actually breathe. And I also have to wear sunglasses even on cloudy days. But I mean, it's glary outside. Like, that's normal. It's not a problem. I just have a system. And that's the thing. People with autism don't have like a system to like wear socks.
I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
I'm not saying I have a problem with socks, but like, I do have a system. Here's the thing. I wasn't devastated by my diagnosis. In fact, it took me a couple days to process the information because as someone with autism, I take a lot longer to process just about everything because a autistic person processes 40% more information from all of their five senses than a neurotypical person does. Neurotypical is a word that is used to describe someone who has a, I'm gonna say, normal or typical brain. I'm not saying that my brain is necessarily abnormal, but it definitely is not like everyone else's. Have you ever had someone tell you, that's a weird thing to say? I have. Like, a lot of people have said that to me, to my face. Not all people said it with cruelty or malice in their voice. Some people said it with concern or just like, you should know, don't say stuff like that. I don't know how to not say it. When I was recording that episode for Parenthood in October, I thought I might be autistic, but I didn't feel like I could say it because I didn't know for sure because a doctor hadn't told me, yes, you have this. But I'm saying it right now, loud and proud, I'm autistic, and that's not a bad thing. I actually take a lot of pride in it because now everything about my life makes sense. Everything. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm just different. And I always knew I was different. I just didn't know why or how or like what that meant. And so all of this has been like a massive relief for me. And now when I watch Parenthood, I don't relate to Max necessarily. We're very different, but it opens my eyes in different ways each time I watch another episode. I decided to talk about all of this today because in the Parenthood episode, Max's parents sign up for a walkathon with Autism Speaks. And we're just going to dive into Max's scenes or the ones that talk directly about autism itself or how Max interacts with others, because I selfishly just want to talk about that. I love the rest of the episode. There's great plot lines, there's great quotes and little moments, and I absolutely love this show so much, but I really want to just focus in on Max and how I relate or don't relate to things that he or his parents are going through. Like I said, when I fell in love with this show, I didn't know I was autistic. I have been watching this show for over a decade, and I didn't relate to Max at all because his is a representation of stereotype of autism because it's modeled after young male white boys. And it's all about a lack of emotion and lack of tone and a seriousness approach to life and lots of logic. And I am completely the opposite. I am highly emotional. I have an excess of expression in my face, an excess of expression in my voice. I move my body a lot. The funny thing is I am apparently a mimicker of others, which I just thought was because I'm a lot of fun and I enjoy being funny. I spent a lot of my childhood mimicking other people who were funny. And when I look back on it now, I'm like, oh, I was trying to fit in, like in the biggest way, because autistic people create what's called a mask to seem more normal so that no one will know they're different. And we're not doing it on purpose. It is not a conscious thing that we are doing. It's something that you just, it's something that you instinctually do as a person to just fit in. It's like a horse standing in the middle of all the zebras, like, I totally have stripes. I belong here. By the time I was 6 years old, I had memorized 100 quotes of Robin Williams, Jim Carrey, Lucille Ball, and pretty much every cartoon character possible so that I could just whip out a joke or a little quip at the drop of a hat. And when someone laughed, I would ask them why it was funny so I could improve for next time. Okay, we're gonna go ahead and jump into the episode. Our episode opens with Adam and Max riding a forklift around the warehouse of the TNS shoe company that Adam is a COO of. Max is asking a ton of questions about the shoes and why the shelves are organized the way that they are and how some of them seem to be incorrect. And Adam does his best to answer and keep up with the rapid fire questions. And then Adam shows him a sneaker that counts your steps as you walk with an actual SD card, which is pretty cool, to be honest. Max mentions they could use these shoes for the autism walk on Sunday and that they could wear the shoes all week, come in first, and win. Adam says this idea is inspired and that's using your old noodle, and he puts his finger on top of Max's head and Max is like, what noodle? The noodle in your head. I don't have a noodle in my head. My brain is in my head. This is something that autistic people do. We take things very literally. And for some autistics, that means that idioms and turns of phrase that we use in everyday life just do not make sense. And they get really stuck on that portion of that conversation. And they can't move forward with it because they're trying to figure out, why are you mentioning noodles? Noodle is a pasta. Why would I have pasta inside my skull? Like, nothing is making sense. And I am not one of those people that gets stuck on it. I'm able to like keep moving forward because I'm so worried that I'm going to miss something coming up that I refuse to allow myself to be stuck. And then later I'm like, oh, I didn't understand that. I think I did miss something. Our next scene that we have is Adam gathering all the parents together and says that everyone is getting a pair of shoes and the boys are wearing blue, girls are wearing pink. And here's the cool thing about parenthood is that all of the actors in every scene are mic'd up. So that means that every single person in the scene, if they speak something out loud, that soundbite could be used in the scene in editing so that the editors are able to like lower and raise the volume on their mics so that it really does feel like a family atmosphere. Like all of these people are in one room. Not everybody is going to be quiet and wait for each person to talk in like a organized manner. People are going to talk over each other, especially siblings and parents. And this person is going to be having this conversation over here. And this guy's going to say something over here. And I love that so much. We also have three cameras, which means we are coming at this scene in three different angles. And that means that we don't have to shoot things multiple times over and over again, exhausting the actors and making it really annoying to keep coming up with fun things to say as you are just kind of ad-libbing just a little bit. Sarah, Lauren Graham, asks why the shoes are pink, and Christina, who is Max's mother, says, well, she picked it out because she thought they could all match like a team. And Sarah, like, cringes like, oh my, okay, yeah, I'm sorry. No, it's totally great. Oh, she's not a pink girl.
I'm a pink girl. I don't mind pink, but a lot of people really hate it, and it's fine. Crosby jokes that these shoes have the same technology as the Nikes did 5 years ago. Crosby. And Zeke, the grandfather, says that he's listening to Adam because Adam is trying to talk to everybody and no one is listening because, hi, they're a family and that's what they do. And Max is pacing back and forth across the room because he's already wearing his shoes and wants his steps counted for. And he shouts out, "I'm listening, Dad." And let me just say that the walkathon is his current hyperfixation, and I totally get it. Years ago, like at least 6 or 7 years ago, I got one of those little like off-brand Fitbit things. I think my sister gave me an old one of hers that she didn't want, and I became obsessed with 10,000 steps a day. It means nothing, literally means nothing, but I could not relax until I hit that 10K step. Like, I felt like I had to hit it by a certain time in the day, and then everything after that was really important to just get in whatever I could. And it took over way too much of my brain space and energy, and it wasn't healthy physically or mentally because I worked at an office job, and so I would be walking circles around a conference table. Also, I had to wear heels, which meant I was walking almost 15,000 steps a day because I had to reach well above the goal to make it count. Oh my God. And I really messed up my feet. Adam says to everyone, "I thought this would be a really nice, positive thing for our family to do together." Ugh, there are times when Adam annoys me so much, but I really do believe that he loves his family more than anything and wants to do absolutely everything he can for them. Then Max shouts out that the winner gets a trophy, and Crosby gets super loud and big with his voice and goes, "A trophy!" And then Max continues yelling because as autistic people, we have volume control. So if we're excited, we are like at the top of the ceiling excited. And he says, "Everybody grab your sneakers, put them on. Let's walk for those kids with autism." And everyone claps, but they're all looking around like, does he know what that means? No. Max is unaware of his diagnosis. He's 8 years old, and at this point in his life, he's only been diagnosed for like under a year and has no idea anything about it. And that's okay, because I don't think I would have understood that at his age either. Because of this moment, Christina decides to make an appointment with Dr. Pelican, who is Max's therapist, and she is really worried because she feels like not telling Max is lying to him and that she's keeping something from him. And she's like, "Why haven't we told him about this?" And Dr. Pelican says it's different for every kid about when to tell them about their diagnosis. And it's really sweet because Christina is so worried that she's nearly crying, and she's like, "So I'm not doing anything wrong." And he says, "No, not at all." And can I just say that I love Dr. Pelican? He is such like a kind and calm approach, not only with his patients, but with their parents as well, which I think is really impressive because it's one thing to work with kids. It's another thing to work with those kids' parents. Christina asks, "How do kids start to know that they're different?" And Mr. Pelican says, "As they get older, it really becomes more of a challenge socially, like the complexity of a sleepover or summer camp." And yeah, I had way too much anxiety as a child to sleep over at another person's house, like even my best friend who I had known for my entire life. And I now understand that it was just about the change of environment, a different bed, different blankets, different temperature and food and the expectations of different families, and then what happens the next morning, and then how long am I there? And there's too much unknown that I couldn't handle. And I have to say that even today, it's hard to change my environment, even just for a simple vacation. I like to do as much research as possible so I can know the places around me that I'm going to eat. Where is the grocery store? What does the bedroom look like? What does the bathroom look like where I'm going to be staying? All of those little things, even just like, what does the hallway look like leading up to the place where we are, you know? When I was a kid and a teenager, sleepovers and summer camp were something that I wanted to want, but I could never actually enjoy. And most of the time, I would go home before midnight. Christina worries that Max will never be able to do these things. And Dr. Pelican reassures her that he might be able to. It's just that the challenges are going to be bigger. And that is so unbelievably true. So what's interesting about this is that Christina comes home and tells Adam that her appointment with Dr. Pelican was really unhelpful, and she felt like she didn't agree with what he said. And Adam is like, "Well, yeah, that doesn't sound very helpful." And I just, I'm so confused. And maybe it's just because I'm not a parent. However, I do feel like a lot of the time with Adam and Christina, they want an instant result for Max. They like things to be clear cut. And unfortunately with autism, everything is blurred. There are boundaries that cross over. There are things that shouldn't make sense to be okay. And then things that should make sense to be okay and that are totally not. It's just the way that it goes. It's almost like they hope that he can be fixed or cured, even though they know there isn't a cure for autism. It's just something you have for your entire life. And they almost seem to think that if they just figure out the right diet, the right exercise, the right routine for him, a pill or behavioral modification, that everything is just going to like mellow itself out, like water returning to normal after a rock splashes into it. But as Dr. Pelican said, Max is just going to have challenges that come easier to other people than they do for him. And that's it. That's as simple as it gets. And that's also as complicated as it gets. And that's not an easy answer. You're not going to like it, but it is true. And I have to say that with my own diagnosis, the relief was so big for me that I finally realized that I wasn't dumb or pathetic, a wuss, or too emotional, or like there was something wrong with me, or like there was a reason for everything that I felt and experienced in such a different way than the other people my age. It was just a giant relief. And now I could move forward understanding all of those things and be able to handle my own challenges in a completely different perspective. And it doesn't necessarily make life easier. A lot of times it makes it harder, but now I can be gentler on myself and actually advocate for myself in a way that I know how to move forward. We're gonna skip ahead a little to our closing scene. Team Braverman has won first place because it's a TV show and that's how things go. But I'm also glad that they did, because I don't know what Max is gonna do if he didn't get that trophy. Maybe they'd have to buy him one. I'm not sure. And Max asks Adam, why did we choose autism for the walk? Like, why didn't we choose some other charity? And Adam kind of hesitates and then says, well, they had the best trophy. And in the background, Christina is leaning on the doorframe of Max's bedroom, and she has what seems to be like happy tears in her eyes. She's really proud of her family and how Adam brought everyone together and how he supplied the sneakers from his company and how Max came up with the idea and was powering forward and really cheering everybody else on and accomplished this huge goal. And I kind of wish that they didn't win in first place, but I understand from a story perspective why they did, because it makes this moment at the end so much grander and warmer. But I also don't mind that we don't say anything to Max about what autism is, because he doesn't ask. And I think it's okay to just leave that ambiguous, because I agree with Dr. Pelican. He's really young. He's not going to understand the complexities of what autism is doing in your brain. I barely understand it, and I've been doing research for months. And you know what? That's okay. Kids are way smarter than we give them credit for, and all we need to do is give them room to ask questions, and they will soon start asking questions. And then it's up to us as adults to be ready and willing to be honest and real with our answers. The end credits follow with a scene with statistics from Autism Speaks organization that 1 out of 110 kids is on the autism spectrum. That sounds like a lot to me. And then I looked it up, and the number has drastically changed from 1 in 110 to 1 in 44. However, I also saw a statistic from Mass General, which is Massachusetts General Hospital. I think I'm getting that information from Grey's Anatomy, that it's 1 in 68. So sounds like we haven't really pinned it down. But I think part of that is because the developing research on women with autism has blossomed over the past couple of years, because now we understand that women are more likely to have autism than we ever knew was possible, and it presents in different ways in different people, and we can't just look at this one little rubric of what it looks like for a young boy or an adult man to have autism. We have to look at it from a much bigger perspective of what does it look like for anyone to have autism. All right, I know this episode was really different, but I just felt the need to steer into this direction today. And if you're new here, hi, I'm Jordan. My special interest is all things television and film. And yes, I do have a hard time making eye contact, which is why I look as hard as I can into the lens of the camera, but then I have to look away. I constantly rewatch everything that I enjoy, and I usually take a scene-by-scene approach, almost line-by-line approach to every movie and TV show episode that we showcase here on my podcast. And so if you enjoyed this episode, hit subscribe, follow, hit the like button, rate, review, comment, all the things. Because next week on Let's Rewatch It Again, we are rewatching... Thank you so much for listening and watching. If you have a request for a future Let's Rewatch It Again episode, you can comment below or send me an email at letsrewatchitagain@gmail.com. You can also find us at Instagram and anywhere podcasts are available. And I'll catch you on the flippity flip. All right, y'all, quick side note. When I first decided I wanted to start my own podcast, I did tons of research on how to make it happen. That's when I found Buzzsprout. It was on tons of podcasters' top five best podcast hosts. Try saying that five times fast. Buzzsprout gets your show listed on every major podcast platform. You'll get a great looking podcast website, audio players you can drop into other websites, detailed analytics so you can see how many people are listening, tools to promote your episodes, and their site is very user-friendly. All you need to start is a quiet place, a good mic, and your own voice. Hit record and just start talking. To begin with Buzzsprout, click the affiliate link below and let Buzzsprout know Let's Rewatch It Again sent you. You'll get a $20 Amazon gift card, and it helps support the show. Happy podcasting!